Especially warm welcome to anyone who's here for the first time or just second or third time. For folk who haven't been here for a wee while. And for those of you who have been here every Sunday, welcome. And also a special welcome to the folk in the comfy seats. You know who you are. That's Zoom. I call you friends, says the Lord, you who are my disciples. I make known to you all I have learned from the Father. The word of the Lord is alive. The word of the Lord is active. It brings us closer to God. It is brought to us through Jesus Christ. Let us worship God. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
Let us quieten our hearts as we approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we praise you that whoever we are and wherever we go, you are there. We have discovered that there is nowhere we can go where you will not be present. We cannot hide, we cannot run, we cannot even be there before you. You are always ahead of us, preparing the way. You are there, waiting with arms of love and mercy, to welcome us and to hold us, to heal us and to be our companion. Lord, you are ever near, ever approachable. In the midst of our anxiety and fear, you understand us without judging. Coming into our turmoil, our doubts, our weakness, and our despair, and you come with peace and stillness. Lord, you stand guard over our hearts and minds so that we dare to speak your name and serve your kingdom. Your majesty is beyond our reach, yet your fatherly love is always near. We praise you for your love and truth made known in the works of the prophets through the ages, and in your word made flesh in Christ Jesus. Lord, we confess our sadness over the way we have misused our time, our gifts, and our energy. Forgive us our self-pity. Forgive us our unthinking criticisms of others. And forgive us our enthusiasm to complain about nothing important. We bring these prayers to you, Lord, in the words which your Son taught us to say when we are together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Signs. We see signs all around us every day. Some order us to do things. Some encourage us to do things. Some try to tell us things. Sometimes we're just not sure what they mean. Well, I've got 7 signs coming up that we might come across. Below each one, there is the correct meaning and the wrong one. They're marked A and B. You can choose which one you think is the right one. Please don't shout out, you might just confuse me. All right, well, we'll start with number one, please. A, do not enter. B, Smarties for sale. No, okay, chosen. All right, we'll go to the next one. Put the litter in the bin. B, put on yesterday's t-shirt. That one's for the teenagers. No, got chosen, okay. Number two. A, no smoking. B, beware of big guns. Okay, all right, go to the next one then. A, McDonald's, and B, tunnels ahead. I think I've got the spelling McDonald's correct, if you know. Okay, right, next one. Please keep this space, or B, men's Olympic fencing. Okay, here B, I think. This is a different order. Oh, yes, A, please drive slowly, or B, be aware of mad horse drivers. Riders. That's my daughter I'm thinking about. Please drive slowly. Is that the last one that of the seven? No, there it is. A, children crossing, or B, dancing school. Okay, I think that is the last one. Is it? Yep, okay. Now, as a good teacher, I have a differentiated assessment system. So if those folk who are watching here or have scored all the A's, you've chosen nearly all or all of the A's, if you're age up to 9, then you've really done very well. Well done, that is superb. Okay, if you're 9 to about 12, and you chose nearly all or nearly all the A's, then, to be honest, that's what I would be expecting of you. So a big thumbs up. Now, if you are age 12 and upwards, and you can go up as far as you like, if you chose or nearly all of the A's or nearly all of the A's, then I think you're taking this away too seriously. Okay. Today, we're going on to think about signs, which I hope is the next slide, is it? Yes. We're going to hear from Claire in a few minutes a story from the Bible about some people who were looking for a sign to prove to them that Jesus had been sent from God. On the previous day, Jesus had fed the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. But they wanted more. They wanted more from Jesus. And Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Some people today are still asking for a special sign, some special sign that will prove that Jesus was sent from God. Well, God's given us all the signs that we need. Many are in the Bible. And we can also see them day by day in people who follow Jesus, people who care for other people, or when we pray or study or gather together in Jesus' name. All God really wants for us is to believe in the one whom he sent. Our next hymn is hymn 535, Who Would True Valor See?
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 4, and then 9 to 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Our second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 22 to 35. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is number 673, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." As this hymn is less familiar, the choir will sing the first verse and chorus, and then Hannah will play the introduction again, and we will all stand and sing together the whole hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by the true and living bread, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It may be my age, but recently I have found that I'm tending to reminisce a lot, or as Margaret probably more accurately puts it, endlessly repeating myself. I was talking to someone about my time teaching in the Highlands of Perthshire, up in that very beautiful but remote village of Kinlochranach. The kids up there were a wee bit different to the town kids I had been teaching. They didn't grumble about having to do maths. They didn't start a rammy when you asked them to hand in their dinner money. And they weren't impressed by the scene from the classroom window, which was a breathtaking view over the River Tummel towards the fairy mountain, Shehalion. On the very first morning I was there, I interrupted their work to point out that in the field opposite, a ewe was lambing. Shoulders were shrugged. Aye, that's gine dochies. They just were not brought up in a world of targets and deadlines and timekeeping. They came from families who worked long hours at physically demanding tasks. They worked according to the seasons and the weather, not the office clock. Mind you, there was a phrase I heard many times, "Nae hurry, North o' Dunkeld." In a lot of ways, it was not so different from the life lived by the folk in Galilee. After the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the crowd had lingered. Eventually, realizing that Jesus was no longer nearby, they decided to follow the disciples round to Jerusalem, to Capernaum. Surprised to find Jesus ahead of them, they wanted to know how he'd managed it. Jesus does not answer a question. He goes straight to the heart of the matter. "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus is chastising them for treating the loaves and fish simply as food and not as a gift from God. Here were people who looked only at their own immediate surroundings. They appeared to have no higher vision. Was it not Napoleon who said, "An army marches on its stomach"? More than 200 years ago, he knew that an army needed proper provisions. But they needed more. Napoleon was able to inspire his men by giving them a promise of victory, of honours, of glory, of something beyond their own immediate needs. Inspiration which would lead them on to achieve great things for their country. Jesus puts his command in one sentence: "Do not work for food that goes bad. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you." The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" In the passage we heard, there are two different kinds of hunger. There is a physical hunger, which is met by eating food produced in this world. And Jesus here sets us an example for us to follow. Access to a healthy and sustaining diet is a gift from God to all the peoples of the world. It is our special privilege to see that no one remains hungry, either here or abroad. satisfying a physical hunger is very important. There is, however, another hunger, a spiritual hunger. This is a hunger that cannot be satisfied with earthly things. No matter how many points you manage to accumulate on your Tesco club card, there are some hungers that can only be satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. There is a hunger for truth, and Jesus alone can meet this hunger. There is a hunger for life, and only Jesus can give life and give it abundantly. There is a hunger for love, and Jesus alone can give love, a love that overwhelms all our doubts and fears. It is Christ alone who can satisfy the eternal longings and the insatiable hunger of the human heart. John 6 at verse 27. God the Father has put his mark of approval on him. From the earliest days of history, important documents have carried a seal, a mark of approval. The seal authenticates the document, and the contents are guaranteed. The rabbis had a saying, "The seal of God is truth, ameth." Now, ameth was the Hebrew word for truth, and it had three parts. The first, the middle, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This was so to demonstrate that the truth of God is at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of all things. That is why Jesus can satisfy the eternal hunger. He is approved by God. He is God's truth. He brings us God's promise, our covenant with God. To see Jesus is to see God. To obey Jesus is to obey God. To receive Jesus is to receive God. Then the crowd asked him, "How can we do what God wants us to do?" Well, that was a subject about which rabbis taught regularly, whether folk wanted to hear it or not. Jesus did not give an endless, complicated list, as the rabbis would have done. The answer that Jesus gave was truly revolutionary and truly shocking. He said quite simply, "Believe in the one he sent. Believe in the one he sent." That was not what the crowd anticipated or expected at all. Jesus said that God's work, the work he was setting out for us, was to believe in him whom God had sent. We can put that another way. The one thing which God requires of us all is faith. Faith. Faith means a certain relationship with God. Faith means engaging with God in such a way that we become trusted friends. We have moved here, away from the Old Testament vision of a dreaded, judgmental God, to a God who is revealed as someone to whom we can bring all our joys, our sorrows, our worries. Someone of whom we can be sure of a loving reception. We give God the trust, the submission, and the obedience that would arise in this new relationship, this new covenant between us. And the whole essence of Christianity is that we would never have had God revealed to us like that had it not been for the life and the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us of the love which God has for us. And it is because of this new style of relationship with God that the old ways, the old fears, the old remoteness were all abolished. God is love. In our lives, there must be, therefore, a love and service of others which matches the love and service of God to us. There must be an understanding and a forgiveness of others in the same way that God understands us and forgives us. God is holiness. In our lives, there must be a purity and a morality which matches the holiness of God. We must be part of this world, but also apart from it, so that we can follow where Jesus is leading, not where the world dictates. God is wisdom. In our lives, there must be a complete trust and a willing obedience that reflects the wisdom of God. As we relate to the ever-changing world in which we live, we must prayerfully and humbly follow the signs God has given us. It is Jesus' teaching that the whole core of the Christian life is a new relationship with God, a relationship which was offered by God, a relationship that was only made possible by the revelation of God that we are given through Jesus, a relationship which involves us in a life of service, of purity, and of trust. Free from spiritual hunger, we are able to enter into such a relationship. And that is the work that God wishes us and enables us to perform. Amen. And to that ever-loving, ever-living, and ever-present God, we give praise. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 511 in CH4, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. We come now to our prayer of dedication, of self and offering. Let us pray. Lord our God, out of our pay packets, our pocket money, our pensions, we bring to you a fitting proportion of what we've earned with our time and energy to be used to sustain financially the work of this congregation, the wider church, and your kingdom here upon the earth. May we constantly be working to find new ways we can be committed to you and to build your values into our living. Lord our God, may all of life be a prayer of dedication and thanksgiving to you. Amen. We come now to pray for others and ourselves. I have a response when I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response, should you wish to use it, is hear our prayer. So it's Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, we pray for those who find it hard to believe, hard because they have too many of the good things of this world, and for those who find it hard because they haven't enough, for those whose lives are in danger through too much food, and for those who are dying for the lack of food. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who find it hard to accept anything that cannot be seen, touched, or proved. Help them to begin to understand that being alive necessarily involves accepting things we cannot see or touch or prove. Love, hope, peace, joy, friendship, and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those for whom faith in you seems to come too easily, for those who never allow themselves and their faith to be challenged and tested by the pressure of confrontation, with problems, with suffering and pain, for those whose faith has never grown since they left Sunday school. We pray for those who, because of their faith in you, have been led through all kinds of trials and tribulations, for those who are finding the way of the pilgrim almost too hard to bear, for those from whom the way of the faith is a lonely and painful one, and for those who have lost their way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those who are in despair, for those who are finding the burden of daily life too great, for the sick and the dying and those who wait with them, for the lonely and the alone and those who seek to comfort them, for sad and sorrowful folk, and for those who give of their time, their energy and themselves to help those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all that goes on in your church today. We pray for a renewal of faith, of fellowship and outreach. We give thanks for faith that is alive and joyful, never afraid of questions or criticisms or doubts. Grant that we face every challenge with humility, meet every need with loving generosity. We give thanks for a faith that is always like the season of summer, always bursting into full bloom of thought, to set us thinking, singing, writing, painting, working to your honour and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray, let your love work in us. Turn our prayers and confession of faith into genuine concern and effective action, so that through us, you may create faith and wholeness in others, so that they may see your signs and follow you to your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These prayers we ask in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I should add a confession that at the beginning of this, or before the beginning of the service, I was given one intimation, which I forgot. So it is that Amos is home, he's safe in the manse, and he, at the moment, following government guidelines. So we'll see him next Sunday. Our final hymn is hymn 283. Hymn 283, the voice of God goes out to all the world. Our service is ended. We go out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.
Thank you.